This is the Live Your Edge Podcast, Episode 2. Hi, my name is Gilbert Joa, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Jack Lee. We will discuss how to upgrade your LinkedIn for success and get anyone's contact within 24 hours. Hello, this is Gilbert. Welcome to the podcast. Let's get started with our guest interview with Jack Lee. Today, I have the first guest of my podcast, my good friend, Jack Lee.
Hello.
Jack today is going to talk about how to upgrade your LinkedIn for success. We will talk about the crucial keys to upgrading your LinkedIn so that you can attract your dream contacts. So let me give you a brief introduction of Jack. Jack works at a global investment conglomerate with 20,000 people, which consists of 3 private equity companies and 3 publicly traded companies. They handle M&A deals, acquiring banks, insurance companies, as well as fintech companies. They've invested in over 200 fintech startups, and Jack is responsible for sourcing global talents in the capacity of senior executive search for blockchain, fintech, and private equity. The type of people he hires are CEOs, CFOs, CTOs, managing directors, chief risk officers at these global level companies. Not to mention, Jack has over 12,000 LinkedIn followers. And I heard, given a specific criteria of candidates, Jack can get anyone's personal mobile number and hop on a call with them within 24 hours. Is that right, Jack?
Yeah, that's right.
And in 2016, Jack was also the personal ambassador to Dr. Ben Bernanke, ex-chairman of the Federal Reserve at the World Business Forum. So first of all, Jack, what got you into LinkedIn?
First of all, for a lot of people in the world, LinkedIn is free, and they provide a very professional networks where the people are uploading and showing their company name and personal and professional title, where you can walk through 99% of the people's work life, and then you can find out your target audience to target if you're sales, if you're marketing, finding client, or if you're like HR. Executive search guy like me to find a target audience in personal level. But if you look at Facebook or other social media, there's no professional information there at the very, very minimum level. So I think if you're not subscribing to the paid version, for the free version, you can access to a lot of people around your area, around your country, and globally as well.
Okay. Thanks for giving your brief overview of your thoughts on LinkedIn. So how has that changed your professional life?
Sure. It's a perfect place for personal branding because you're uploading all the records, all the job experience, and also recommendation from the ex-bosses and your clients and your business partner on there for free. And if you make it like a public profile, so anyone in the world with a link can have access to your professional information. Secondly, this platform has very high credibility because people tend not to be lying there, less likely than in other platform there. So I think that would be a great platform for your personal branding.
Would you see it as sort of a digital CV in a way?
Yeah, I think it's much better than CV. Your pictures, your background photos, which will give you a feel and the personal style of you as a person. So it provides a lot of great value on top of a regular CV.
Okay, so now we have a brief overview of Jack and what got him into LinkedIn. So Jack, Why don't you share with us some of the tips that you've picked up on LinkedIn, how it got you to over 12,000 followers, and maybe some of the results that you've been able to get?
Sure. I'll make it in two parts. Part A is a basic LinkedIn setup tips, the common errors that people do. And the second part would be how to get any contacts of your ideal or your dream contact, your target audience, the personal mobile phone within 24 hours and hop on a call with them. So let me start with the LinkedIn tips. Number one, profile pictures. A high resolution is a must. Now today, people use iPhone and I think, or the Huawei or Samsung, like a lot of people do. It provides very high resolution and make it a very nice picture with a smile. And a lot of people are not smiling there. It looks like a very serious face. And I think that is very important. So when I was going through a lot of thousands of profiles every day, so I tend to speak or message those people that I like more. And the number one thing I think of is the little smile on the face. It's very important. It will change a lot of impression or the perception of the people when they're looking at your profile. And the second, the background pictures. A lot of people do not put in the good background pictures. And another type of people put in a lot of wording, a lot of like a short brochure in the back of your profile picture is wrong. So I think the best background picture is the color. Or like me, I put in the Oxford University background there. So it provides a feeling of the theme. For some, if you're a tech guy, let's put something like a tech in the background. And you can search through a lot of stock photo online for free. So make sure you look at the high resolution and simple background pictures to make a good starting point. And the third thing is recommendations. A lot of people do not use that. And I have tips for these recommendations. So if you're a sales guy or if you're an entrepreneur, make sure that your recommendations are coming from 4 to 5 different angles. For example, your business partner, co-founders, your business supplier, your customers. And there's two types of customers. There are individual customer and company customers. Make sure that you message them before, that email them before, and have a quick chat with them to get the consensus that they're willing to give you recommendations. And then you send a recommendation request from your LinkedIn to their LinkedIn. And I've another tip for that is just a lot of people are very busy. So they're not having time to think about a very nice recommendation for you. You can prepare for them. You can email or message or text pre-written recommendation message for them to post it on your LinkedIn recommendation part when you send them a
request. So you're saying that I can write a recommendation, say for myself, and I can say I can send it to you for recommendation. And what you can do is either you approve it or you decide there's something that needs to be changed or something to be added or something to be removed. Is that correct? Mm.
Yeah. And by doing that, you're increasing their okay or consensus rate from 20% to 80%. So then your friends or connection can copy and paste and add a little bit adjustment there and put it there to your request.
Okay. So to recap very quickly, and what I heard is first you got to have a good profile picture. Now, Jack, I'm sure you've seen my LinkedIn profile picture before. What do you think of the smile? You think there could be a little better?
Oh, your LinkedIn profile are quite serious.
So that's a problem, no? That's a problem.
So I think the one keyword there is welcoming. So of course, I think my first impression to your profile picture is that, oh, this guy is a tough guy. It seems like he's quite serious. So I have to think twice, or three times, four times before I message him.
Wow. So it seems like there's something I need to change.
Yeah, but the good thing about the profile picture is that they're very confident.
So we have the smile on the profile picture.
A little smile.
A little smile. Great. Little smile. Secondly, the background picture, making sure it's up to date and reflecting more on the theme of what industry or field that they're in. Correct?
Exactly.
And third thing is the recommendations. So the recommendations can be, you can request one by first asking them And you can also pre-write some of the recommendations, particularly for people that are very busy. And all they have to do is approve or modify it in shape or form, right?
And key things there is the multiple angles. So you're receiving recommendations from different angle in your business. So client, customers, business partner, accountant, or a lawyer, or a personal accountant, or a personal lawyer, or even from your initial user, or the mature user, or the very young user, or your investor. So make sure you have at least 4 to 5 angles in your recommendation list.
Okay. So how many recommendations do you think a person should have?
5.
Five from angles.
From different type of people, yeah. But do not get a recommendation from one type of people.
So if I say I get a recommendation from ex-boss. So another suggestion would be getting a recommendation from a peer or maybe a client.
Yep.
Correct? Okay. All right. So moving on, now that we have 3 things covered, there's a subtitle. What do you think about that?
Sure. Less is more. And quite a lot of people are putting 4 to 5 keywords there. It's quite confusing. So pick one. Maximum pick 2.
And what do you usually see? Actually, I see a lot of people put their job title and the company that they work for in the subtitle. What do you think about that?
Sure. So I can tell you is that there are three to four type of people. So first, they're putting their slogan in the title space. The second type of people they're putting the job title. And the third type of people are putting their thing they want to do in the future. For example, I'm hiring, I'm looking for jobs, I'm looking for a business partner, I'm looking for an investor, stuff like that. So my tips is that make it short, because the key is when you're adding people and the receiver are checking your message in the mobile phone, and there will be an email showing that you are adding them. And the number one thing they will see is the title, it's the job title or the title space. And make sure it's short and it's meaningful.
Okay, so you recommend we don't use too many keywords, but we also use it to reflect who we are as a professional and keep it concise.
So my tip is do not put in any aspirational type of things. For example, looking for jobs or hiring. So put it maximum 3 words. So a lot of people are putting 7 or 8 different keywords or the long sentence or even a slogan. Put 3 words that describe what you do.
So what are the benefits of having these keywords in the subtitle?
Because there are tons of people, thousands of people in LinkedIn. When somebody's receiving a request, they're trying to categorize people, and you want them to categorize you into somewhere you want them to categorize. For example, if you're a tech sales or tech entrepreneur, you're looking for business, you're looking for business development opportunities, make sure that business development and your domain knowledge, that's it. For example, if you're selling a cloud services, so cloud and business development.
So in the subtitle, it would say Gilbert Joa, cloud, and then Mark, business development, and maybe a third keyword if they choose to. And when people search you on the search bar, they're looking for, I guess what you're referencing to is when people are looking at the search bar and they're typing in a keyword, what it will usually pull up is profiles that have those keywords in their subtitle. Is that correct?
I think the key is to get people to accept your request.
Okay.
In order for people to accept requests, more likely, less is more in your title. So people, your receiver will usually have 1 second to 2 seconds to decide whether they accept your request or not. So they do not have the time to read 7 words, 8 words, or even 10 words. Moving so for on. Example, me, so I'm putting in talent acquisition, commerce, blockchain. So before that, I was putting in fintech, blockchain, executive, senior executive search is like a 10 words. It doesn't work. and my acceptance rate is quite low, it's like less than 10%. So when I put a two phrase, and the acceptance rate goes up from 20% to 60-70%.
Wow, so every 10 people you request, you have 6 or 7 of them accept you.
That's right.
That's a very high statistic. Take notes, everyone.
For education, so of course your formal education is the foundation, the basic part. And love to see when people are having extra education from online resources. So personally, I took the Oxford blockchain course. So a lot of people are pretty interested in that part of my LinkedIn profile. And we start a conversation quite often just by that. And for some, if you're doing tech, why don't you take a course in the online course? And you can add a little short course information there. And it shows the world that you're an aggressive learner, you're a continuous learner. So that's quite a big plus in the people's eyes. For article, not a lot of people would do article, but you can do a short blog about yourself and what you believe in, or your some of your personal experience. But I don't think that would be necessary. Media proof. I think media proof is quite an interesting thing. So number one, if you have media proof, and make sure it will connect and help and support your case. And if you don't have that, you can put your company media proof. For example, if your company is on a newspaper, screen it or copy it and put it there. If it is a newspaper clip, you can scan it into PDF form and attach it into your profile. For bio, so there are two parts. So we start with a summary part and the job description there. A lot of people are mixing this up. And summary is like a personal statement. For example, I start with blockchain believer. And quite a lot of people start the conversation with me by asking that, oh, Jack, you're a blockchain believer. How come? And then we start a conversation quite easily. And you can put in your personal contact, personal email, work email, or your mobile phone. So being accessible is quite important, because if somebody are not feeling comfortable giving their contact with you, they will contact you proactively if they don't want to expose their personal detail. It's quite useful. So I think out of 10 cases, maybe one of the conversation will start by they are adding you. They are calling you, or they are emailing you proactively.
So on a daily basis, how many people are reaching out to you instead of you reaching out to them?
Because I'm adding people quite aggressively every day. So I think out of 100 people, around five of them will reach out to me after I added them. One more thing about premium account, by having that go button on the corner, it's actually quite helpful. It shows people that you're mean business, you're serious about your profile, and it's quite useful. So I tend to be more likely to speak with those with a premium account, because that premium account will score with email. You have 30 or 10 emails where you can message anyone in the contact without adding them.
The email, right?
Email function, yeah.
Okay, and you feel that the email is it gathers a high response rate?
Every month, I will receive 30 new credits. So I will use. I don't really use it, because I will use it in another way, because I do volume. So I will talk about the volume adding later on.
The volume adding, okay. Anything else that the audience can take away in terms of making adjustments to their profile?
So one more thing about the skill. A lot of people are putting 100 skills, at least 50 skills. Make sure it narrows down to 2. So I cut off every skills. I was putting 100 skills.
What type of skills were we talking about?
On the profile. So I'm adding M&A, I'm adding entrepreneur, I'm adding business plan, I'm adding business advisory, HR, recruiter, headhunting, communications, public speaking, or negotiation.
So the tip is to limit it to the things that you want your contacts to recognize you for?
Because the problem with a lot of skills is that your like or your endorsement will get spread out. And every skill got 1 to 2 to 3 endorsements. And when I narrow it down to from 100 to 2, and almost 2 of the skill get 99 endorsements. So that's much powerful than 100 skill with very little endorsement.
Great stuff, Jack. Perhaps you mentioned there was a second part. The second part is about using your LinkedIn profile and being able to get in front of anyone in 24 hours. So Jack, maybe share with us a bit how that's achievable, how that is possible, and how we can use that even if we are not experts with years of experience with LinkedIn. We can still apply it.
Sure. So I would send a request, like more than 100 requests every day. And I'm able to get the reply with a mobile phone within 24 hours.
So these are all targeted requests. And I just want to make clear that Jack, he sends out a lot of requests a day, but these are not random requests, right? There are targeted requests based on a specific criteria that you worked on before, right? You know who you're targeting. You're not just looking through the recommended people and adding everyone. So that is not something we advocate for anyone to do, correct?
That's right. And I will start with the 3 golden questions. So I have 3 golden questions that will get me the mobile phone within 24 hours. So I will start with, I've been trying different script, like more than 20 type of script, and this script works the best. So let me share with you, after years of experience, years of not getting responses, not getting reply. So I start with the number one golden question that I send to people is this. But how about I start with the process there? So I will use the LinkedIn app to add people, but not on the website version.
Why is that?
Because it provides a really high speed by volume adding. For example, in my mobile LinkedIn app, I search, for example, CEO of a fintech company and a country name, for example, New York. So I would like to meet 10 fintech CEO in New York. How can I do that? So I open my mobile app and search a CEO fintech in New York, and there will be around a few hundred or 3,000 results. So I start adding them by clicking the button on the app. Boom, 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 boom. So I keep adding them. So I'll add around 100 people. And a lot of them will, you can expect around 10 to 15% of them will accept your request within like 15 minutes. And I think personally, the people on LinkedIn is quite responsive. So I won't add any message on the adding notes. So do not do that. So let's make sure.
Because I've heard from people that I should add note. So what is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, very important. People don't really care about your add notes. For example, let's start with the case of 100 people. And you send a request to 100 CEOs. And when they accept it, then you spend time with them. If they're like cold contact, do not send them any add notes. On the second step is this, for example, you send out 100 requests and 10 of them accepted within half day. Then you start messaging them. Then I'll give you 3 tips, 3 golden questions to get the number. Then the first golden question is, for me as a HR, so I would say, would you be open for opportunities? I was trying to add a lot of titles, a lot of information. It doesn't work. Less is more. Very important. In the online world, less is more. And I was trying to send a whole email, like 100 words. No, keep it within 7 words. That's the golden rules.
7 words.
Seven.
Say they accepted my request. The first message is 7 words. And it's a form of a question, correct?
Yes. I would highly recommend you use the word you would. Would a very polite word. Make people feel quite comfortable. And do not mention a topic. You do not have to put in your information like I'm selling stuff, I'm selling XYZ. No. You don't have to introduce yourself. You don't have to put in extra information. So for me, I would say, would you be open for opportunities? 6 words.
To which they will reply either yes, which is very likely, or no.
And people will say 80% of them, 80 to 70% of them, oh, yeah, tell me more. Then the second tip is that do not tell them. Do not tell them anything. And the second message should be, can I have your contact number?
Now, I think some of us listening to this would ask, does it differ from different industries or different types of people? Say I'm reaching out to a business associate or customer, would I still approach it the same way and not release any information and just ask them for their contact? Because for me, this is something, this is quite new to me.
Sure. I tell you what, I have a few people telling me they prefer it this way. A few senior executives told me that, oh, finally, somebody make it clear, make it short. Finally, someone make it right. I have more than 5 to 6 people, senior executive CEO, telling me this. They actually prefer this, but not the long message. Of course, before they're giving you their contact, they'll walk through, they'll go through your LinkedIn profile. By going through your recommendations, so number one, so they'll see a 4 to 5 source of recommendations saying that this guy is credible, this guy is good, this guy is reliable, smart guy. So recommendation part is the super important part, because they will see ex-CEO, ex-CFO, CTO are all giving you positive recommendations. If an investor, customer, your user, your business partner, even your investor are putting in good words about you. So it sounds like this guy knows what he's doing. He's a highly credible person. So why not? So if they do not want to give out the contact number, they'll ignore. It's fine. So we're not talking 100%.
Do you send any follow-up message if they don't reply?
If they reply to the first question, very likely they reply to the second question.
So if they don't reply to the second question, your suggestion is to just let it go?
Let it go. Because there are thousands of contact out there. If they say yes to the first question, they already gave you a commitment already. Mm-hmm. But do not, my tip is that do not ask for that number, the contact number in the first question. It will never work. If you say, would you be open for a coffee? For example, if I'm a sales guy for a technology company, so I would say, would you be open for a coffee? That's it. Stop. No introduction.
And if you're sending that to me, the first thing I would ask is, what is it about? Why do we need to have a coffee? Why not have a call?
Sure. Would you be open for opportunity to discuss something else? Would you be open for new software? Would you be open for new technology? Would you be open for new outsource vendor? That's it. Stop.
Because a lot of time you would get objections that say, send me some more information.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my point about the second question is never tell them, never answer them directly. If they're asking for something, ignore them. If they're asking, oh, tell me more. Yeah, I'll tell you more over the phone. So that's why I need your phone number. Hey, tell me about your product. Tell me about your company. Yeah, of course. Can I have a number? Actually, people are willing to give out their contact number if they're interested in the first question. For example, are you open for a new cloud solution? So, if they're interested, they will say, yeah, tell me more. Or send me a brochure. Or send me the website of your company. Or tell me more about your company. What did you do before? What kind of client do you have before? Then you send out a question of, can I have a contact number? Or can I have a contact? So I always say contact number. but do not use mobile number, mobile phone or phone number. I said contact number.
Mm.
Very important. If I use, can I have a mobile phone? The people won't reply at all.
What if they just send you their office number?
Usually they don't send me the office number.
In the case that they do send you the office number, how can you go about handling that?
I will just call their office number, but that is not likely because, number one, they're not at office and they're walking around with a mobile phone. And because they told you they're interested before and they create urgency for themselves. Somebody would say it's a trap, but I would say it's a way to get people to commit to you. Mm-hmm. If they say, "Oh, tell me more." Oh, yeah, I'll tell you more. So can I have your contact number? We can try. I would encourage a lot of people to try. Then they give you their mobile number and do not call them. Do not call them straight away.
Okay. So what do I do with the number?
When you have the number, send them a message. Send a WhatsApp message.
Or
a text message. To schedule a time. Why? Because if you call them straight away, very likely they're in a meeting. They're walking, they're driving, they're doing grocery, they're buying stuff, they're having coffee, they're chatting, they're drinking at the bar. If they do, and I would expect 99% of the chance they're doing something else, but not seeming to expecting your call. What does that mean to you? That means the quality of the call is terrible. If they're driving, talk to you later, bye-bye. So my tip is to schedule a time with them. Today, tomorrow, 15 minutes. Are you free? My first test message would be, "Hello, this is Jack from LinkedIn. Free for call tomorrow, question mark. And I would say, please suggest a time. And they're very likely to say, "Oh, tomorrow, 12 p.m. And make sure you call them at the same, exactly the same time. Exactly the same time. Never be earlier 1 minute or late for 1 minute. Be exactly the same time. A lot of people will remember that. And they'll sit there for at least 15 minutes doing nothing to expect your call.
And usually the call would go longer than 15
And that call
minutes.
Will go very well. Because they're paying attention to you. They indicated their interest before. And they gave you their commitment already. And they gave you a time to call them already. See? So three level of commitment there. So number one, what does that mean? Number one, they will respect you. So you're not a random sales guy. You're a business guy. You're a business call. It's a formal business call, not a random cold call. Second, there will focus their attention to you, to your call, to your message, to your questions, and for at least 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, quality time. That's enough. I don't think anything beyond 15 minutes will be likely. So 15 minutes.
Wow. So that's how you get from finding someone on LinkedIn and getting on the phone with them in 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Great tips. Great tips, Jack.
Mm.
Do you have anything else you'd like to share with our
sure.
guest before?
And what would you say when you're on the call? Sure. So I would share one quick tips how to make the call very productive. Yeah. In the first question, I would ask, "Hello, I'm Jack Lee from LinkedIn. Thanks for your time. Can I know the reason why you want to talk to me?" Very powerful. If they keep sending you stuff, even give them their personal contact number, they want something from you because they read your profile. They know what you're doing. So let them talk. They will tell you the reason. And actually, if you're a sales guy, you let them to sell themselves. Just let them to sell to themselves. So, because I'm looking for a tech solution, because my server is bad, my cloud services provider is terrible, so that's why I'm looking for new vendors. So that's a perfect way to start a call to understand about your customer. So cut short. No talking about weather, no talking about movies, your coffee or your travel plan, because 15 minutes is very short.
So we just want to get the juice out. We want to get the important questions.
They're ready. They're ready to tell you why they want to talk to you. So let them talk. So that's my tips. So overall, for LinkedIn tips, great profile pictures, background picture recommendations. So that will serve the next step. It says they will be helpful in all your prospecting process. 3 golden questions to get a number. Make it clear. Make it short. 7 works maximum. So do not mention about yourself. Do not mention about a product, anything. Would you be open for something? Would you be open for new ideas? Would you be open for new tech solution? Would you be open for something? Then can I have a contact number? If they say no, it's okay. Pass. Move on. If they give you their contact number and set up a time, test them. Test them to set up a time. Do not cold call. Do not call straight away. And start with the call with the question of, so what makes you want to talk to me? That's it. So that's the summary.
These are the golden tips from executive recruiter Jack. So this about sums up and wraps up our session for today. Mm-hmm. If people in our audience, the listeners today, would like to learn more about you and to follow you on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. where can they find you? What's your LinkedIn profile?
Okay, let's put my tips into test. Let's search Jack Lee Blockchain.
Jack Lee Blockchain in Google search or in the LinkedIn search?
LinkedIn. Or if you search in Google, Jack Lee Blockchain LinkedIn. If I'm doing it right, you should be able to find me. But my LinkedIn link is the www.linkedin.com/in/JackLee1.
So that is Jack Lee 1, JACKLEE 1.
Number 1.
All right. So this about sums up our session for today. Thank you for coming on the show today, Jack. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.